Mark 16. What an amazing verse. What a troubling verse. Most of my Christian life, I struggled over Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. So I want to read it to you, so you can struggle with it. And he said to them, "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned." But that little phrase, "whoever believes and is baptized will be saved," this verse comes to us as somewhat of a surprise. At least it does to me, perhaps to you too. He that believes and is baptized, and we ask ourselves the question, is it not faith, then salvation, then water baptism? Isn't that the order? To Jesus, it seems though it's a little different. To Jesus, it is faith, baptism, then salvation. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And somebody might be saying here this morning, "Pastor Owen, surely you don't believe in baptismal regeneration?" And the answer is no, I don't. Which is simply that we are saved from, and we go to eternal, and we receive eternal life because of our water baptism. Then what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, I think the clue is not found in Mark 16. The clue is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 on the day of Pentecost. There are 3,000, well, there was at least 3,000 people there. We know that. And Peter stands up, and of course there's been cloven tongues of fire on their heads. There's people, they're being filled with the Spirit. And what happens in that setting is that Peter stands up and he tries to explain what's just happened. And as he comes to the conclusion of what he was trying to explain, he shouts out, and to me this is the answer, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And then, I should say, "then they that received his word were baptized." Now that helps me, because he's talking about being saved, but being saved from what? Save yourself from this crooked generation. We need to define, first of all, saved. Saved from hell and into heaven? Well, yes, but that's not what he's talking about. Save yourself from sin? No, that's not really what he's talking about, although there's a truth to it. No, there's something more. And I think I've tried to rationalize it like this in my own thinking, that everything God gives us, it's to meet and counter a contrasting evil. Everything that he gives us. Eternal life, because there is eternal death. Forgiveness, because there is sin. So he brings us salvation because of what? Because of what? So let me continue on. Justification, because of condemnation. Heaven, because of, in terms of hell. But salvation is related to the cosmos. Salvation is related to the world. It's the antidote to the world. That's what he's trying to, I believe he's trying to tell us. Salvation is not so much a personal question of your sins forgiven or hell avoided. It can be seen rather in terms of a system from which we come out of. And it's important that we understand that, that we get that, that we're coming out of a system, a world, a cosmos, because that is the Greek word. Not talking about the inhabitants, not talking about the little blue sack of water that we call planet Earth, but the mind behind the system. This system that we leave at the time of our baptism. When I am saved, I make my exodus. I make my exodus out of one whole world and my entry into another whole world. I'm leaving one to join another, and I do that through the waters of baptism. It's the huge, huge implications stand on this in my mind. I'm saved now out of all of that organized realm which Satan has constructed in defiance to the purposes of God. Just absolute defiance to what God had in mind. That realm that I'm talking about, that realm called the cosmos, called the world, that all-embracing cosmos has many strange facets to it. The human mind, just for starters, and its cultures, the world and its philosophies. You see, many people, they think of the world, they think of going to a nightclub. They think of bingo. You know, people sitting there smoking, or at least it used to be anyway, 500 people in a room smoking. They think of that. They think of something that's evil and, you know, drug taking or something. But they don't think of the true nature of the world. That is part of it, but such a tiny, tiny part. And card playing and dancing and all these things that we take into stand. And we somehow thought that was the realm. This is representative of it, but it's far greater than that. The philosophies are concluded with the very best of humanity's social and political ideologies. The highest, all of education, commerce, finance, social activities, theology, the world's religions, education, science, commerce, religion, not just nightclubs and things like that. Now, I'm not promoting nightclubs. I'm simply saying many people think that that was something to do with the world, and it is, but that's just a small thing. They don't realize that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. When you touch the world, you touch the devil. When you touch the world, you touch the devil. The whole world, the commerce, the finance, the theology, the social interaction, the whole, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. The whole world. The whole world. That world system is controlled, at this stage, is not controlled by God. Ultimately it is, but it isn't today. It's controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And he controls it all. And so when we get baptized, we make an exodus out of this Satan-inspired system, the mind again behind the system. We deal with the devil. The world and all that belongs to the world by nature. It moves, and it all moves in a direction contrary to the will of God. It always will. It always has. It won't change. So the whole world system is under the direct inspiration of the evil one. And so, if that be so, the world, what then is salvation? If the world is controlled by the enemy, what then is salvation? Well, salvation means that I escape from that. I escape from that. I go down. I make an exit from that all-embracing cosmos. I belong no more to Satan's pattern of things. I set my heart on that upon which God's heart is set. I take as my goal his eternal purpose in Christ, and I step into that, and I'm delivered from this. When you walk into that water, if you were here this morning and you were going to be baptized, amazing things hang on this, folks. Forces at work. The world, you are simply acknowledging that although we are in the world, we are not of the world. We use the world. It must be used, but we don't desire the world. My heart must be set on that which is where God's heart is set. So I step into a watery world, so I can be delivered from this world. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. From what? From sin? No. Well, yes, but not this morning. I'm not talking about that. From heaven? From hell? No. Saved from the world system. When we say, have you come out? And if you came out, when did you come out? What was the circumstance of your coming out? Everybody should know precisely when you came out. I came out at this point, this day. It's marked in the history of the Lord, certainly, and perhaps in many church registers as well. So I take that step of faith. I believe, and I am baptized, and I come out a saved man, saved from the system, saved from the control. I have made my identity clear. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. That is salvation, coming out of a world, a Satan-inspired world system. Again, we're not talking about the people. We're talking about the system, the control of it. So never let us regard water baptism as of small concern. Tremendous things hang upon this, folks. Tremendous things. Amazing things. And I wish I could, I trust I can speak somehow in Revelation here this morning so that you too catch that same thing that I'm trying to explain. It's no less a question of two violently opposing worlds and of our translation from the one into the other. You ever wonder why the struggle to get baptized? People put it off for years, not recognizing there's a force that doesn't want them to identify, to make the demarcation of the two, the two violently opposing worlds. And it's our responsibility before in Jesus to be saved. And you were saved through water baptism. Yeah, now, you're clear on that. I don't want you that I spread start false doctrine here. All that we don't have enough water to wash away your sin. Right? We'd have to pump some more in here. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us and give us eternal life. But when you talk of salvation, it has to do with the world, not you going to heaven. So when Peter stands up and he says, save yourselves, what a statement to make. 3,000 people have just been baptized. And he says, what's going on? Or I've just been saved. And he said, save yourself from this crooked generation. How? Get in the water. Get in the water. And you'll come up a saved person. And it says, and that very moment, he said, the 3,000 were baptized. As a direct response that Peter knew precisely what they needed to be saved from. So tremendous things hang on this. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. I think that, there it comes, there it comes. There we are. 1 Peter chapter 3. In which he went and proclaimed, verse 19, to the spirits in prison, verse 20, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. Now you picture it in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Now saves you. Boy, that's not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Baptism, he reasons, saves us now from this, again, this world system controlled by Satan. When you read Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, as that family gets into the ark, Noah and his family were not just eight people who escaped drowning. Because we'll often say, eight people escaped drowning. Yes, indeed, they did. But that's not the point of it. The real point for us is that they were the only people to come out from that corrupt world system. God says, I can't redeem it. It will always be what it is. And because of that, you have to come out of it. And eight people came out of it and survived, not drowning, but survived the connection with a world condemned by God. And as they did that, we talk about them forever and forever because of the joy of their obedience. The only people to come out from the corrupt system of things, that world under water. So salvation is essentially a present exit from a doomed order. You don't want to be connected to that which God has condemned. And he comes back to judge that world in a final judgment. So it's a doomed order, belongs to the enemy, to the evil one. So we say regarding Noah, praise the Lord, he came out. Came out, eight people came out. came out of that system and were saved. So we praise the Lord for that. How is that? How were they saved? Through the waters. So this passage through water signifies their escape from the world, their exodus from the system of things that with its prince, because there is a prince that controls it all, is under the divine sentence. The wrath of God. That's it, the wrath of God. And so when people are saying, well, I'm wondering about water baptism, wonder no more. Simply ask yourself the question, to which world do you belong to? Do you belong to the crooked generation, or do you belong to those who have followed the Lord and trusted the Lord and have made a very clear exit? We'll be telling the candidates this next week when we meet with them, we'll be telling this very thing. I said, listen, when you give your testimony, because it hinges on the testimony, as they step into the water and they give their testimony, they are saying, in essence, number one, they're speaking to heaven and announcing to heaven that they belong to Jesus. So that's the first thing. You're speaking to heaven. All the angels are saying, you make your sound. So heaven listens as these people take their stand in the waters. And secondly, they speak to people. And they announce that I am now one of you. I, too, have come out of the corrupt world system. And I am now a child of God whose concern now is for the things on God's heart in this kingdom of his. So we speak to people. It's very important. Many people are very touched by testimonies. You'll see them wiping their eyes. And often after they say, I knew it. And when that person spoke, I need to get baptized. And so I tell them, I said, listen, don't worry about it. You'd be a little nervous. But I said, there'll be 250 people in here. I said, and we'll all be clapping and whistling and cheering as you come out of that tank. And I said, we'll be so happy for you. It'll be noisy and rambunctious. And we know it took a lot to get here. So, and besides, you're now saying, I am now one of you. I'm one of you. So, first of all, to heaven we speak. Secondly, we speak to the world. But thirdly, we speak to the principalities and the powers. We speak to the prince. We speak to the prince, and we announce that you no longer have any control in my life. I have nothing to do with you or your system. I'm coming out. I'm leaving that. I'm leaving that world order that was under the wrath of God. So as you go into the water, you're not just the only one who goes in the water. Not by a long stretch. As you step into the water, a whole world goes down with you. The whole world that you were born into, spiritually speaking. You were spiritually dead, alienated from the life of God in Christ. So when you come up with Christ, but your world stays behind. Your world stays well behind. Lord, I leave my world behind. The cross separates me from it forever. So you cannot carry over anything from that former world. Your pride, your ambition. See, people don't like to say, could you have a private baptism, Owen, for me? I'd just like a private one. I said, well, what do you mean private? Well, I was thinking of my bathtub. I believe how many people have asked me about that over the years. Say, a private one. That's not what it's about. It's going public. It's going public. That's what that video, it's going public. And I said, it's messy. Well, that's just it. It's kind of humiliating standing up there, you know, your mascara running, you look like a drowned rat. And I said, yeah, no, you do. That's true. But that's what it is. We're entering into the humiliations of Jesus. Right? He was humiliated, and we share in that humiliation. You come out of that water, you don't look good. That's not your best moment. You know, you can't say, oh, excuse me, can we get a mirror before I come out? I just want to make myself look a little nicer here. Right? No, it's you go into the water, you come up, and you disgrace yourself, really. Right? You feel like a fool. And anyone who's going to get baptized next week, you'll say, just before you even go in the water, you'll say, I don't think I should do this. No, I don't think I'll do this. Oh, this is, you know, but we say, no, carry on. But you can't bring anything from this world into the new one. Passing through the water, you proclaim to the whole universe that you've left your world behind and you've entered into something utterly new. Utterly new. Just like Arnold and Hannah, they have a new thing going here. They are husband and wife. A week ago, they weren't. Now they are. They entered into a whole new way of living. And the Bible says they become one. And we rejoice in that. We bless God for that. So it is with this. You leave your world behind. You enter into something utterly, absolutely new. And that is salvation. That I am saved. Oh, through the blood I'm saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin and justification. That's. But I'm equally, when you read the Bible, it is not referring so much to you going to heaven as you coming out of the world. And that you know clearly in your mind when that has happened. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, it's a Philippian jailer. You know the story. So he brought them out and said, sirs, what? Oh, yeah, there's an earthquake, right? And they're going to kill themselves. And Paul said, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And so, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, this is not a good question. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke to the word, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to those that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he baptized at once. Now, this is midnight. Why do you think he would do that? Why do you think that, why wouldn't you say, listen, we're around tomorrow morning. It'll be daylight. We'll be able to see what we're doing here. Didn't wait till dawn. He immediately baptized him. Immediately baptized him. Why? Because he asked, what must he do to be saved? And Paul says, you believe on the Lord and you get baptized. So, that's what you do. And this is what it means to be saved. You declare you belong to another system of things. He said, the Philippian jailer, you belong to this system. Now here tonight, it's so important that we won't wait till morning. We won't wait till breakfast. In the middle of the night, we're going to baptize you because you believed on the Lord. And that's why, you know what they said, we should maybe let them serve the Lord for 3 or 4 years to see if they're serious. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Just don't find that anywhere. It just isn't there. There's no gap between you believing on the Lord and you getting baptized. In other words, if we gave an invitation here and somebody gave their heart to the Lord, if the tank was there, say, would you like to get baptized? Would you like to save yourself from this world, from this corrupt world? And they say, yes, I want to come into Christ's world. I want to leave the prince of this world behind. So really, water baptism is it's a pantomime. As Jesus died, I died. As Jesus was buried, I was buried. As Jesus rose, I rose. As Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, I too am now sitting on the right hand of the Father. Of course, every year that, every time that we baptize people, I always tell this story. When the church, Richard remembers this the best probably, we had a portable tank that we sometimes would fit, because we didn't know how much what the weight would actually do to the building, so we moved it right down where about Ken is sitting, and we would take the chairs out, and we put the tank together. It was really a crude-looking thing, but it worked. It had a liner inside of it. And in those days, we didn't have a baptism class or anything to explain anything. We just show up. So this girl shows up, and she says to me, and some of you have heard the story lots of times because I've told it for 25 years, but it's true, absolutely true. She said to me, she said, Pastor, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I've made a costume. She was a student at Langara College. And I said, what do you mean? Well, for the baptism. It's beautiful. It's shoulder to floor. It's covered in sequins, hundreds of sequins. So that when I make my way into the tank, the light will shine off all of the sequins. And I'm thinking she's teasing me, right? I said, that's pretty good. No, I'm not done. She said, and then when I make my way over the top, when I make my way, I've got wings. They're 5 feet across. And as I step into the water, the air will lift up the wings and the light will shine. I said, I don't think that's going to work. She was so angry that she has never been back. She had never been back. That's the absolute truth. She might have got baptized somewhere else, somewhere, but she didn't get baptized here. She was offended. And I said, you know, oh, but I have to tell one more part of the story. There was a guy that liked her in the church, and I don't think she liked him as much as he liked her. But anyway, he was going to get baptized too. So he came to see me. Again, this is just a couple of days before the big event. And he says, Pastor, what do you wear to a thing like this? I said, well, something casual, something modest. He said, well, you know, to me and you as guys, he said, I work out, and I look pretty buff. And he said, I like to wear my Speedos. Because at the club, he says, the girls kind of get off on that, on my Speedos. And he's serious. Like, his guy is serious. And I'm thinking, what? I come against you and your Speedos in Jesus' name. I don't want to see any more of you or of them. So he says, so the Speedos are gone? The Speedos are gone. He actually got back. All I could picture, though, had they both shown up, both of them vying for the spotlight, you know, her pushing him out of the way because. So after that, we said, you know, there's probably a good place for a class. Maybe just to go over a few things. Now, here's the point. She didn't realize it was the end of her world. She wanted her world to continue on. You see, baptism is coming out of that world and dying to pride and all of the things that control our life in this world. Our deliverance from the world begins not with our giving up this or that, but with our seeing, as with God's eyes, that it's a world under the sentence of death. We're living here, but it's under the sentence of death. As Christians, we both eat and we drink, but we know it's under judgment. We would like to go to a film. Nothing wrong with that, as long as we realize it's under the judgment. Nothing wrong with commerce, as long as you hold it in your hand, realize it's under the judgment of the Lord. Our whole culture is, our philosophies, theology. Do you know that all seminaries go liberal? They always have, and they always will. They turn liberal. And they will be preaching anything but the gospel by the time it's already done, because it's under the hand of the enemy. So all things belong to the enemy, whether it's films or pleasure, but it's not a matter of us abstaining from this and doing this, as if it's a recognizing that no matter what I touch, that I have to come out of the world system, because otherwise I'll be contaminated with it. So as Christians, we both eat and drink. We're not ascetics. We eat and drink. We go to movies, we sit in Starbucks, we listen to good music. All that's the same. But we're aware of it, that it's a world under the sentence of death. The essential character of the world is satanic. It's an enmity with God. And to see this is to find deliverance. So we live in the world, but let's not want it. That's how I would like to say that. We live in the world, but let's not want it. Let's not desire it. We're saved from a world. It's slated for demolition. So save yourself from this crooked and perverse world. And that's why in the bulletin it says, I'm going public. And in so doing, they are saved from the world system. Whenever I wonder about what I'm about. Because again, we have to use these things. We're there, but we're aware of the mind behind the system. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the prince? Are you aware of the mind behind the system? Because everything, it's not just, as I said, nightclubs and cigarette smoking, which we've always had labeled as, well, we know it's kind of worldly things. Everything is worldly, and everything is under, and that's why you must get baptized to come out. Have you made your exit? Next Sunday morning, there will be people making their exit. They will be leaving that world behind. They'll be just like Noah. They were not saved from drowning. They were saved from the judgment of God on the world. And so there we are as we face another opportunity to be obedient to the Lord. What I don't get is why people put it off for so long. It can only conclude they don't realize what salvation is. Salvation is more than having your sins forgiven. Salvation is more than having fire insurance from hell. Salvation is being delivered from a world controlled by an evil prince. And everyone needs to make that exodus out. I believe that the Lord is speaking to somebody here today that you need to get baptized. You thought of it last time, but you know that didn't work out. But I'll tell you, the enemy, it's amazing how things don't work out when people decide to get baptized. Oh, I can't, my job's changed, and it probably did. There was a force even keeping them from getting baptized. So I would say, don't worry about it. Oh, by the way, after the baptism, somebody will phone up on Tuesday, and they'll say, can I come and see you? I lost it all. I got baptized, but boy, I've been so depressed and so discouraged. And I said, oh, well, that's good. Is it Tuesday? Yeah, I should be just about right. They said, what are you talking about? I said, the enemy lost somebody. You've left his kingdom. You did it publicly. We do it publicly. So as you look back at your water baptism, say, praise God. Right? Praise God. I left the world system. And I'm belonging to Jesus and all that's on his heart. The kingdom of God. Seeing other people come to know him. And so I would like to say, if you're here today, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you. You don't have to ask if it's his will. In every case, in every case, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10 and 11, Acts chapter 19, every one of those cases are the only examples we have of water baptism anywhere. Whatever, if it's not there, it's not anywhere. So in every one of the cases, wherever there was a discrepancy, whenever there was a lack, in, for example, Acts chapter 8, they hadn't been baptized. And so a crew came down from Jerusalem and baptized them. Acts chapter 19, they find 12 disciples and they said, well, we're disciples of John. He said, you didn't even know about the Messiah. He said, what were you baptized in? We were baptized into John's baptism. He said, well, that's not the baptism you need. You need the baptism in Jesus' name. And right there, they baptized 12 people on the spot because there was a deficiency. In other words, somebody wasn't baptized. So this thing, so you may be a Christian, but you can't call yourself a Christian. Hear me now, you may be a Christian. God knows. But you can't call yourself a Christian because the only Christians the Bible recognizes are water-baptized Christians. They've come out. They've come out of the system, and they've entered into another system. So we're not just coming out. We're entering into, Lord, you are now my life. I serve you. I live for you. I worship you. I give you my life. Everything I want you to be pleased. Lord, I'm living for someone different now. Where I might have lived for myself, I'm living for you. And by the way, that's why when they come out of the water, we get so excited about it, right? Because they say, oh, this is so wonderful. And you ever wonder why we're so excited? Well, I think we get a little whiff of this. We get a little glimpse of this, and we say, they've come out. It's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal. And when you realize what are the implications of it, the demons that are involved, the angels that are involved, the people that are involved, right? This is not something strange or weird. This is just normal New Testament stuff. Belief and repentance, water baptism, and then Holy Spirit baptism. And whenever there was an exception, they would go and correct it. But that's just normal stuff. It's not deeper stuff. You don't have to wait another 10 years before you get baptized. You can get baptized next Sunday. And I think we're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be a great Sunday. We're going to have it here. We'd like to. Well, it's a little chilly now. We're going to lose too many people if we have it at Ambleside. But it's going to be great. And we want to, when those people come out, remember to pray for them, because we know that the prince will be angry. We're not afraid of him, but we know the prince will be angry that somebody left the world system. Stand with me, if you would, please. You don't need to bring your Speedos or your water wings, your sequins. But don't you love human nature? I have a feeling, Rex and I have talked about this, that the only measurement you can ever have in a church of how it's doing is by the baptisms. Or what else is there to measure? By the smile on somebody's face on a Sunday? We don't know who's believed on Jesus until you go public. When you go public, then we know. And we were, a few years ago, we had a lot of baptisms. Then it seemed to be a little scarce. There seemed to be one or two, but not too many. I have a feeling this is going to turn a corner. I don't know why I do, but I just do. When we were thinking, I said, this is going to turn a corner. I think we're going to see that as we go into, end of this year and into the next year, we'll look back and say, wow, what an amazing year. Look at how many people were baptized. They came to faith, they got baptized, and now they're tracking with the Lord. So, pray with me, but remember that we prayed this. Remember that in this September, we prayed it, because to me, I've wept sometimes. I said, why was there not more baptisms? Why was that? Are we not reaching people? Are we not facilitating this thing right? So we believe that God is answering our prayer. But I feel that this is going to be a significant one. I don't know why I do, but I do. So let's pray together that it would be. And if you know somebody that's maybe not even here this morning that should get baptized, maybe just say, listen, ask God if this is if it's time to go public. Say, God, is it time to go public? That's all. That's all we need to do. And God will direct all the rest. Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. And indeed, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved from a corrupt, demonic world system. Lord, I'm glad I've come out. Lord, I thank you that you said that pure and undefiled religion is that we care for widows and orphans and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Lord, redefine our understanding, Lord, of what it means to be saved. We thank you. Like Noah, we've come out so as to avoid judgment. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that you've spoken to, I pray that they will say, count me in. I'm going public. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for what I sense will be happening in the weeks ahead, months ahead, as we, with all of our hearts, seek you to see the harvest come in. Oh, God, we want to see a harvest here in our community, the North Shore, of many people. Many, many people coming to know you. We bless you. We praise you. Lord, it's so good to be saved. It's so good. We marvel at it. We marvel at it. Give us, Lord, a deeper understanding of the coming out of one world and entering into the other. Give us a revelation on that. We'll give you thanks and praise. We bless you. We bless you. If you're here today and you need prayer, we're going to have the prayer team come over and stand over here. And you've come and maybe you need salvation. They would be glad to pray with you. You can invite Jesus into your heart and your life. If you're here because you have financial need or emotional need or just you're here and you say, I wish somebody would pray with me. Our great fear is that we'd have a service and you go out of here limping and you didn't get anyone to pray for you. There was no one to pray for you. So we'd have the teams come if they would. And if you're able to join us on the patio, I'm looking forward. See, I'm just looking. This is what I like, go out there, because I see two dear people in front of me I didn't see until halfway through the service that I'm going to talk to. And some of you that I'd love to chat with. And so join us on the patio if you would. Okay, for that fellowship. That's worship, the word, fellowship. Just really good part of it. If you're able to stay, that'd be great. So God bless you. Thanks for coming this morning.